So welcome everyone. First of all, can you hear me okay? Okay, see some thumbs up. Great, thank you. So I'm really happy to share this quiet day of practice with you. It's wonderful to see so many familiar faces and also new faces, hoping to hear your voices at some point later. I know many of you have been sitting with our virtual Sangha regularly, and it's a really big part of your practice. So really, it's wonderful to just take that in. Some of you have been taking these IMC courses that kind of go on and actually getting to know each other, and some taking online retreats. So all the different ways that we've connected virtually. Sitting these monthly day-long, excuse me, sitting these monthly day-long retreats, can be such a meaningful part support for the practice. So I'm just so happy to just share this with you. For so many years, I did a monthly day-long, for year after year after year. We used to have them, before the virtual days. And it was just such a nourishing piece of my support for my practice. So I really hope you continue to keep supporting yourselves this way. So I'm gonna hand it over to Deanna for some brief announcements, and then I'll begin officially. Deanna.
Thanks, Inez. Welcome, everybody. Good morning, good day, happy 2024. On behalf of those of us supporting this offering, our retreat mentor, Paul Waters, our recorder, John O'Connor, and myself, we're really delighted to welcome you and support this offering from Inez. So I have four brief announcements. First, under the meditation hall link in the upper right corner of the retreat webpage, you'll see a little Zoom info and phone instructions link. You can copy those instructions if you wish. And then if you have internet problems during the day, you can join our meeting, our meditation hall, over your phone. Next, if you are not in the US Pacific time zone, as I am not, you can tell the website what your time zone is. And then your schedule on that page will be in your time zone. So to do that, just click on your name in the upper right-hand corner of the website, and then click settings, and the time zone setting will be at the top. You can change it to whatever you want. Next, please do not send Zoom chats to Inez today. She will be occupied and not able to respond. You will be able to send Zoom chats to me. However, I may be busy in the background, and if I get backed up with tasks, then there may be a bit of a delay before I can respond back to you. So please only send a chat if there's something interfering with your ability to participate in the retreat. And of course, bring all of your practice and Dharma questions to the Q&A session with Inez. And finally, please note a slight change to our schedule today. That changed yesterday evening. So if you printed the schedule out, please just double check the website schedule to confirm that you're using the most updated version. And that's all I have. So back to you, Inez.
Thank you. So the theme for the day is going to be doing and not doing. And as we begin the day, I want to highlight the ability that we all have of purposely moving our attention from one object to another. Left on its own, the mind naturally shifts its attention from one thing to another, or monkey mind just grabs one branch and another, often in response to what happens in our immediate environment, or other times we go into familiar patterns such as worrying or planning or fantasizing, sometimes into wild flights of fancy. But when we practice meditation, it can involve quite a bit of doing. Just settling into a meditation posture. It can take a little bit of time finding just the right seat. I like to take my time. I'll sit down, and hang there for about a minute and then kind of reshuffle myself. I get a little more sensitive. And then we're doing a lot by bringing our attention back to the present moment. The mind naturally wants to go elsewhere, so we just kind of bring it back, bring it back. We're bringing it back to the breath or the body. And in all those instances, we're purposely moving our attention or shifting our attention. Now, that moving of the attention can be done in a relaxed way with an easeful mind, or we can kind of force it and yank it back and be a little tense. Meditation will start when once I get there, that kind of feeling, which I've experienced more than once. We just begin to settle into our practice. We can do it with either a judgmental mind or if you're experienced, you start doing it with a really patient mind, a patient attitude, or sometimes we're somewhere in between those two. The idea is that the more we settle in, there's a lot less to do. And we do what's needed without adding extra to the experience. For instance, if we find we're tuning into our bodies, we notice our shoulders are a little tense. And we relax, we can just relax. Or we can go into a story about, boy, I'm always tense there. What can I do to fix this? This habit of da 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 da. Maybe I should take up blah blah, take up yoga or take up this or go to get a massage every week or, and again, now we're out, adding lots of extra, we do what's needed, just a little bit of movement, a little bit of movements. And a judgment arises, that's fine, it arose. No need to make it wrong. That's just extra doing. It drains our energy to judge. No need to add anything extra to it. Judgment arises, oh, just a judgment, and it goes away, right? That judgment isn't lingering somewhere in space. We can relax into any moment, however it is, pleasant or unpleasant. The basic instruction in the Anapanasati Sutta, which is the teachings of mindfulness of breathing, it begins with a simple instruction of knowing that we're breathing, knowing we're breathing in and knowing we're breathing out. That's all that's happening. We begin honing our attention, so then it begins to change. We notice more the obvious parts of the breath process, the parts that we may not have noticed a minute before. We might notice it's long or short or deep or shallow. And I don't mean that you evaluate it or you judge it. Just notice, if the breath, oh, it's, if you're with it and it's taking a while. You're knowing the breath just as it is. There's no need for it to change. We're just knowing what's there. The next instruction is breathing in, one experiences the whole body. Breathing out, one experiences the whole body. And so sometimes people get confused here, I like to use the word feels the whole body. Staying aware to do this with a really easeful mind. We don't try to force the mind to feel the whole body, whatever that might mean. We just incline the mind in that direction. We allow ourselves to feel the breath within the larger field of the body, in however we might sense the body at the moment. So, for instance, we might inhale and we kind of feel the whole chest, fill up. So it's a little more of the body. That's fine. We don't have to keep chasing, making sure we feel our fingertips, And sometimes you might feel the belly. Sometimes you do feel it all the way to the fingertips. However we feel it is fine. We don't need to strain. And as we continue to settle, we move to the next instruction, We breathing in, we relax the bodily formations. And I tend to think about it as the bodily tensions, the extra things we add. And breathing out, one relaxes these bodily formations, these tensions. So very simply, we know the breath. You know, as we settle, we start feeling the breath in a larger, more intimate way, and we relax the breath and body. So it's just a very natural flow. As we get closer and closer and quieter, we feel more. It's like getting to know, getting to know anything. At first, you know, it's just like kind of a big blob, right? And then as you get closer, you start seeing more and more detail, experiencing it closer and closer, more intimately. So we begin to know the breath and body in a just a little more intimate manner this way. And the mind has all these deep habits, and it has often has other things in mind than what we're doing, right? And so our job is to notice how it moves. You know, what did it do? You know, oh, it went into a fantasy. What do you know? You know, and we very kindly shift the attention back to our object of meditation. It's an art that we develop, is to shift the attention back without any extra tension or judgment. It's just part of the flow. Oh, there it went. Okay, we're coming back this way now. There it went. We're coming back this way now. Just a really natural, easeful part of the flow. In Buddhist practice, an essential aspect of wisdom is having the clarity of mind to see the differences between the options that we have at any given moment, and then making choices that lead to well-being instead of choices that lead to suffering. So basically, wisdom is just having the clarity to see what's helpful and what's not helpful. And this can apply to everything in our lives, everything we do, including meditation. And this process of mindfulness breathing requires making many choices. And as you'll notice as we again start our sits again, you know, we make the choice, oh, this is a really juicy fantasy. Do I go back to the breath or do I keep following it? It's a choice we make. And sometimes we're seduced, you know, and I've been seduced more than once. And, you know, do I go back to the sensation of the body or do I try to intellectually figure it out? You know, what's really needed here? Or do I go back to the body and allow the body to figure it out? We can make a choice to aim to have a friendly attitude towards our mind. We make a choice to let go of judgment when it arises, not to reinforce it. And, you know, if some of us have habits of mind that tend towards the unfriendly, we may need to make that choice again and again and again until taking a friendly attitude becomes more natural than a critical attitude. Now, whenever we're not mindful, the mind resorts to its habitual ways of thinking. If things are pleasant, we habitually just want more of it. If they're unpleasant, we habitually, you know, want to get rid of it. But if things are kind of neutral, you know, the mind just goes to its daily habits, maybe rumination, worry, daydreaming, planning, you know, all the whatever our daily habits, we just go right back into them. So when we bring mindfulness to the moment, we create more space around our experience, and it gives us that option of choice instead of just being run by those habits of mind. In some ways, we're like a program robot, you know, you give it something pleasant, it goes this way, unpleasant goes that way. You give it something kind of neutral, it just runs its programs just the way it's been doing it for ages. So this mindfulness is where we differ. We have a little bit of choice. When we make choices towards generosity, kindness, and patience, we reinforce those habits. Don't underestimate a moment of loving kindness. It tends to be followed with another peaceful moment, another wholesome moment. If we react in an unwanted situation with anger, in the next moment, our body experiences the stress of anger. It's immediate. And then the stress hormones are running through our bodies, and those are going to continue for a bit. So if we choose to respond to it with even a small inclination towards friendliness, we can experience an ease in the body and mind. If we're restless, we usually can't choose to not be restless. We can't choose to not be sleepy. We can't choose to not have aversion to something we dislike, but we don't need to struggle with it. We don't force the mind to be at peace. We can't force the heart to love. But we can incline the mind in the direction of calm, in the direction of alertness, of equanimity. Inclining the mind is a choice we can make to go in the direction of what's wholesome. For instance, I was having, some years back, I was having an argument with my husband, and I got really, really, really annoyed, angry, and I was really holding on to my point of view. And of course, awareness kicked in, and I said, "Oh, boy, I really want to continue. I really want to, make my point of how right I am." But I saw, the anger, and I saw that I didn't want to, that in my heart, I don't want to go there. I don't want to continue that. Even though I had a lot of attachment to being right. And I just inclined my mind in that direction. It didn't immediately dissipate. Suddenly I was happy and loving and kind, but I stopped feeding it. I stopped pushing in that direction and allowed it to fade away. And it was actually a very powerful moment for me, just seeing that I didn't go from angry to loving, by choice, but just by inclining my mind, it just, the anger lost its food, it's lost its nourishment, and it gradually went away much quicker than it would have if I just kept feeding it with all the reasons why I was right. It doesn't mean that I wasn't right or anything. just kidding. Another way you may have experienced, inclining the mind is, sometimes, some of us set an alarm clock. We have a special occasion. We have to get up extra early. And yet somehow we wake up right before the alarm clock. I don't know if you've had that happen. For me, that happened over and over again. And somehow the unconscious knows our intention. So in that way, we incline the mind to get up early. Something in us begins to do its thing. And so I've learned to trust that just by inclining in the direction of kindness and of patience, something in me works under the surface. I've really developed a deep trust in the fact that that happens. In a similar way, if we become mindful of an agitated mind or a restless mind, we struggle with it. It only agitates us more. So instead, we can choose to incline the mind towards being at peace with it. This is what an agitated mind is like. Of course, we give it lots of room to be just the way it is. Inclining the mind has patience built into it. Patience is a way that we practice being peaceful. If we're caught up in our reactivity, we can incline the mind in the direction of peace. And I like the image of, we can't force a flower bud to open, but we can nourish it with water and nutrients and until it's ready to open all by itself. So, I'm going to give some brief instruction and then we'll do a sitting. So, maybe find a nice posture that you're comfortable for the meditation. And we'll begin this first sit with mindfulness of breathing. We can think of the mind as having a background and foreground, and allow the breath to be in the foreground and everything else to remain in the background. There's no need to push things away, but just bring the attention to the breath, to the foreground, using the breath as the anchor to stay present and here in a relaxed way. You know, the Buddha taught the middle way. You know, the middle is where the balance is. Not too much effort and straining, not too little effort and being complacent. You know, not leaning forward and not pushing away. But the practice is always here and now, being at ease with wherever and however we are, and not waiting for something better. So this is the practice from the first moment we start, no matter how distracted, not waiting for something better. So close your eyes. Take a relaxed but alert posture, arriving here. We can set aside any concerns or stories of our lives. We're here to discover what's present, however it may be. You might notice the mood of the mind, the attitude of the mind. If it's a positive mood, you might appreciate it. If it's afflicted or stressful, mindfulness has room for it. You can welcome it gently. There's no need to push anything away. We can bring a curious, non-judgmental attitude to our attention, however things are. So we can begin with taking a couple of deep breaths. And with each exhale, relaxing just a little bit more, settling into our cushions or chairs, settling into the earth. And allowing the breath to return to normal. You might get a general sense of how the body feels right now. It can be helpful to scan the body and relax what we can, relaxing the head and face. The neck and shoulders, it's the entire back, the pelvis. The chest and belly, allowing your belly to be soft. Relaxing the arms and hands. The thighs, the legs, the feet. Just generally relax what you can let go of. If it's not possible to relax something that's tense, that's okay. Just try to soften around it to be okay with it. Get a sense of your body as a whole, sitting here on this earth, or laying here on this earth, however you are. Now begin to notice how you experience the breath. Notice the movement of air, the movement of muscles. Maybe you feel the belly going up and down, rising and falling. Or the chest rising and falling. The rib cage expanding and contracting. You may feel the air coming in and out of the nostrils. Notice where the sensations are easiest to feel. Allow your attention to rest there. It might be the nose, the chest, the belly, a combination of those. However you notice, the breath is fine. There's no right way to notice. Just allow your attention to rest on the movements of the breath. This is your home base, your anchor, just like an anchor on a changing sea. Knowing the breath, knowing we're breathing in, knowing we're breathing out. If the attention wanders, we bring it back gently, welcoming it home. It's just what a mind does. Trying to be at ease with the breath, however it shows up. Keeping the breath in the foreground, you can allow any thoughts or concerns that arise to remain in the background. You don't need to push them away, just allow them to be in the background. And as the mind continues to settle and get a little closer to the breath, feeling those sensations of breathing a little more intimately. And always, if the attention drifts, welcoming the attention back when it returns. Next, we'll have a 30-minute walking period. I'm going to offer some walking instructions next for those of you who'd like to stay for those. Or if you'd like, you can go ahead and begin the walking. And remember, there won't be a bell at the end of the 30 minutes, so make sure you come back for the next sit. I'll give you a moment to get comfy. Great. So one of the things that happens on a day of retreat is that the continuity of attention begins to create a momentum of both mindfulness and concentration, and that builds and strengthens as the day progresses. So the more that the awareness is present, the more it builds. So walking meditation can really be a helpful part of maintaining that continuity. Walking can also be a significant form of meditation as sitting meditation. Some people like it better. Some people take to it right away and find it quite satisfying. Other people, it can take the appreciation of it can take time to develop. However it is, work with it the way it is for you. And just to give you a sense of how important it's considered, there's a monastery in Thailand that's, from my perspective, quite austere. And they do, like, before you finish your retreat, you will have done at one time 24 hours sitting meditation without moving. And 24 hours standing without sleep, and 24 hours of walking meditation. So it's considered that central a way of really concentrating the mind in movement. And it's the same mind that's present, whether we're sitting or walking. It's the same mind that gets distracted by what we want and don't want. It doesn't matter whether we're in the cushion or doing walking meditation, we still get caught by the same type of stuff. The object of meditation, whether it's the breath, the body as a whole, stepping while we're walking, it doesn't really matter as much as letting go of any attachments we have. Any clinging the mind has. So formally, there's many ways of doing walking meditation, and I'm going to mention that one of the more common ones in this tradition. And what we do is we take a path that's about 20 feet long, and we just go back and forth. And when we come to the end of the path, we come to a mindful stop, very mindfully turn around, then mindfully start again. The stopping at each end can help us notice if the attention has wandered. It can allow us to recommit. We can say to ourselves, if we're having trouble staying really present, I'll be mindful for these next 20 steps. It's a little bit similar to counting breaths. With an online retreat, some of you may not have the ideal a place to do walking the way you might at a retreat center. But it's quite doable, even in very small spaces. I've done this in my living room, walking in a circle. And the disadvantage of the circle is that there's no natural stops to catch the attention, at the end of the path. So I placed a Buddha at the head of the room. And when I reach the head of the room, I bow and start again. So it would give me that little momentary pause. Oh yeah, here I am. For anyone here who can't do walking meditation because of a physical condition, you can do something similar using rhythmical movements. People have used like bringing the hands up with the elbows bent and just going like this, back and forth, back and forth. Whichever, just alternating which hand is up, at whatever pace is comfortable. And that can be done sitting, standing, or lying down. We can do walking meditation at any speed. What's important is to have a sense of ease. It can be helpful to walk on the slow side, but not so slow that we have trouble balancing or back hurts too much. What matters is that our attention is at ease, that we can be as much at ease as possible. Sometimes we can vary the pace. Faster walking can bring us a greater sense of ease if we're agitated, or it can be helpful if we're really sleepy. Sometimes the mind is calm and alert. A slow walking speed may feel more natural. And we can sometimes vary our speed. One of my teachers recommended, he said he would always start, do like the first third, he'd do fast. Then the middle third, he'd do kind of a medium, moderate pace. And the last third, he'd do very slow before the next sit. And so that was a rhythm that some people really, really like. So what's really important is to stay connected with our bodies as we walk. And on a day like today, if you decide to go for a fast walk, around the neighborhood or something, that's fine too, and just stay really present to the body moving at a faster speed. So the basic instruction is to first stand and connect with the body standing there. Really allow the attention to settle on the feet and lower legs. And really feel the feet on the earth. And then as you begin to walk, feel the sensations of walking with each step. Many people find a quiet mental labeling of each step helpful to keep the attention steady. But still, the attention should be mostly on the sensations of walking. Leave the hands comfortable, however they are comfy. They can be in front of you, they can be in back of you, to the sides, whatever is really comfortable. And remember, this is a formal practice. So if you're outside, this isn't a nature walk. So we're not, it's not a time to look around a lot. Just allow the eyes to softly gaze downward without focusing on anything in particular. Just kind of a nice, easy, unfocused gaze. So if you're walking very, very slowly, you can use the label lifting, really feeling your foot lifting, moving, and placing. And again, lifting, moving, placing. If you're walking at a stroll, you might just say lifting, placing. And this labeling, it's only if it's helpful for you. And if you're walking on the fast side, you could use stepping, stepping, or step. And just like you do in sitting meditation, if you get distracted, you just kindly bring the attention back to the body walking here. So hopefully that gives you a sense of it. Don't be concerned about doing it wrong. Just pay attention to what you feel. There isn't, it's really about showing up, feeling the body, feeling what's going on here. And when the mind takes us little detours, escorting it back. So please enjoy your walking. Thank you. And we'll see you back here. It'll be 10:30 Pacific.